everyone, and welcome to a very, 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 very special edition of Fans of Power podcast. And before I say anything else, I have to open this particular podcast with a line that our guests can really appreciate because it's the most appropriate line meant for this podcast is, everything comes to he who waits. And I have waited so very long for this moment to finally sit face to face with my good buddy Axel Jimenez. Axel,
hi.
This has been a long time coming.
Everything comes to he who waits.
Yes, yes, yes. So it's very good. Long to actually converse. Yes. We've conversed so long over social media, but never face to face and never verbally. So this is a special. This is a big deal to me.
Oh, it is the same for me. Yes, really, really.
Good, good. Well, I hope you're ready to enjoy some in-depth conversation about your career and Mastered the Universe, because you've become such a pivotal name in the community with classics and the mini comics and things and your artwork. I mean, it's you're pretty unanimous with Masters of the Universe for quite some time here. So we're ready to dig into what got you to this point and amongst other things.
Sorry, I didn't hear.
I said, well, we're just anxious to dig into what got you to this point in your career of in being a He-Man fan also. You know, what led you here?
Yes, I think it's some kind of trouble with the sound.
Oh, the sound? Okay, that's fine. But, all right, well, Joe Motto is here with us.
I'm here. And I'm going to definitely, I will try. I know that sometimes, like you said, there's audio issues. And I think with how fast I speak, I know sometimes things might even get cut off. So I'm going to try to be a little relaxed this time. And as I promised everybody in the chat room last week, I won't be cussing. I'm going to keep this calm and cool, especially with having such a great guest like Axel on. So we're going to have a blast, Axel. Hopefully, as long as I don't talk too quick, which I'm going to try not to, because I fumble up, you know me, I fumble over my words half the time.
That's fine.
But we have some people that are here live for that are probably going to be asking you questions later, and then I'll get it right back to Tyler. But a lot of people that were in the chat room and, of course, in the other He-Man groups. So I'll just quickly acknowledge them, and then I'm going to pass it right to Tyler. We have Aaron Voorhees joining us, Febmon, Zen Brown, Anthony Albanese, Curtis Ackerman, Tags Media Animation, Mike Shamp, Papa Hud 69, and Grimbot are here. So thank you for joining us, and I'm going to pass it back to you, Tyler.
All right, Axel, probably just kind of, you know, because I know you've been a fan of He-Man probably since it, you know, since its conception. But what brought you to He-Man and just kind of like kept your passion going, you know, to the point where you're drawing this stuff for fun and getting yourself into comic books? Like what pushed you to become such an avid fan of He-Man?
But you mean as a kid or as a professional artist?
Oh, both. Like, what got you as a kid, and then obviously had to keep going with you to become an artist and to want to draw the stuff professionally. So, what's kind of fueled your passion for He-Man from childhood to adulthood?
Well, I remember I got the figures, you know, as everyone else, and I fell in love with the aesthetic of the world. You know, it's the kind of world. The fantasy I love the most, creatures, technology, magic, it's all there, and that I think that was the main thing that caught my attention, my interest as a boy. You know, I draw since I have memory, I started to draw human figures thanks to He-Man, you know, by copying the Alfredo Alcala mini comics, Errol Makari, Carbac art, all that art, the box art, just blew up my imagination, you know, as a kid. And I started to draw all those fantastic creatures, beasts, ships, the battleships, the castle. And, well, I started to to draw us as an artist, even at those years in the 80s.
Gotcha. And you, yes. Oh, I was gonna say, because you're pretty much a fan of all the mythology, like in your artwork over the years, you've managed to incorporate, I mean, New Adventures, the movie, the live action movie, the various forms of the mini comics from Alcala to Larry Houston's creations like Lodar and Prince Dakon. Like it's kind of you're one of the most quintessential fans, because there isn't probably a part of He-Man that you don't seem to show an interest in, like all aspects of He-Man, She-Ra, of course. Also, I mean, is there anything you don't really like? Because you managed to find a way to work in everything and represent something of every era or media of Masters of the Universe.
Well, you know, I have my preference. You know it well.
Yes,
I prefer the dark, the barbarian version of Masters of the Universe, the early moments of the line. I just love that early version of Masters of the Universe. But I take every other version of Masters as some kind of challenge to try to make my mark in that version. So I love work on every version of Masters of the Universe, He-Man or She-Ra. You know, I love the vintage line of Princess of Power even more than the Filmation version.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Visually, I found it more interesting. You know, I know what Filmation means to Masters of the Universe and Princess of Power. We all know that. But about the visual, the aesthetic of the world, I found Princess of Power really interesting. You know, all that cape and the fashion and the girls. I love that version of Princess of Power too.
Elaborate on that, because I've never ever heard that aspect in comparison, because, I mean, unanimously seems like Filmation and that look of She-Ra and those and that mythology of characters seems to be, you know, the top. But you like the vintage toy. Is that go for like all the villains, or like how Crystal Castle looks in comparison to Filmation?
Yes.
All aspects. I mean, like go a little deeper into that, because that's a very interesting opinion I've never heard before.
Well, you know, there is a lot of difference even in She-Ra. And I know that kind of work was mainly pointed to the girls, you know. Even the main villain was Catra. But even then, with that vision, original vision to that line, I always try to show it in the more action way. You know, I just draw a new art for Paragon, or even the one I made some years ago, I think, with the Alcala He-Man next to the vintage line.
Yes, version. I know the one you're talking about,
Yeah. And I try to show that version of She-Ra in an action pose. You know, she can wear all that fashion look and even be a woman, a warrior woman. And I love that. I love to try to mix the two versions. You know, the action with the fashion, and I love that. I love that. I think that's one of the reasons, because I love that version. Princess of Power.
See, and that's something that's always attracted me to your artwork, is that you managed to take things, specifically as a kid, I thought they were awesome, but since they were meant for girls, I was afraid to even contemplate trying to buy one because of that. But you managed to take the very, like, you know, girl-centric look of those characters and making it look very mature and give it that kind of adult aspect. That's something that, you know, not too many people can really do. And when you do it, I'm like, that's what I've told anybody. If there's a character or an idea you don't like in Master of the Universe, let Axel draw it. And I swear to God, like, that will make you like, okay, I get it now. I get why this should be used, because you managed to put that very edgy spin on everything. That's why it was always important for me to see you draw New Adventures characters or obscure Filmation characters that people may not know much about because they think it doesn't really fit. Let Axel draw it, like Azrog. And I'm like, oh my God, like, if people don't get it now, they'll never get it, because I just feel like you've always managed to upgrade so many of the characters. And I, like, another example is like when Joe asked you about drawing, was it Stone Dog versus Kallax?
Oh.
Yeah. And I thought that caught my eye, because using the Rock Warriors, because they're not used that much, I thought, oh my God, like, Axel made Stone Dog just look like an amazing badass in that picture. And that's just something I'm like, if you put Axel on it, no one ever has to question. I don't care if it's, you can make the scientists from the New Adventures cartoon probably look really badass. Like, that's just, I feel like you can add any kind of intensity to any character. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to question it, because you just know how to make everybody look a lot more suitable for Master of the Universe. Characters that are just not as well liked or looks, I feel like if they were to put you on it, you can make everybody likable, no matter who they were. Because you just know how to just make them look so damn good. It's just the best way I can put it.
You know, I know some people changed their mind about the Mighty Spector after seeing my art. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah,
you know. So I think I made my official, enter to Master of the Universe in the classics time. Maybe that helped to fit my vision with the different versions, because it was the spirit of the line, you know, try to mix the different version of Masters of the Universe in one universe. I don't know, I maybe got that feeling too with my art, with my way to show the different characters. And I think it works.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and what inspires you to want to, like, pinpoint, like, one of my favorite, because you do a lot of, like, quick sketches, like kind of one-up drawings of random characters at times. And one of my favorites was that one you did of Prince Dacon clutching his broadsword.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and it's just, it's an obscure character, but it's a character that's pretty well known in the community. Like, just, do you just look at random characters and feel like this character really hasn't been given a whole lot of, you know, publicity in the community, so I'll just kind of draw this and see what I can do with it? Or even like these kind of newer characters like Red Shadow and the Black Wizard that are essentially made up characters for the classics storyline that you have done. Like, is just kind of like, see what you can do with them, pretty much? Is that what inspires you to kind of draw these more lesser known characters?
Well, I think that's part of that challenge way to, I try to make my art, you know, because I think it's easy to draw the main characters, you know, you can draw Hordak, He-Man, the main ones, we all know which ones they are. It's easy, you always find a way to show some kind of theme, the character stand by, or some battle scene with them, and you always can get it interesting. But it's hard to make some new piece with the less known characters or the new ones. And I like to play with that. I like to play with that challenge, you know.
I try to
the people know that new characters find interest in some way. You know, I like to try to help to bring those new characters or some forgotten characters from the past to the present day, you know?
So you've always seen that as a challenge, because I, for me, you know, when I would want to see you draw up your characters, because I wanted to see what you could do with them and to see if it would pique other fans' interest. But you kind of jump at that opportunity. You like to work on lesser known characters or obscure characters or brand new characters to kind of bring them to the forefront and kind of let fans see, you know, give them some more recognition, so to speak. So you've always kind of liked that, because I didn't know if that was something that would have been difficult for you when I would recommend, like, drawing karate, you know, but you drew it, and, like, God, man, it was, you know, a lesser-known character. You did a kick-ass job with it. I mean, it was amazing, but is that something that it may be a bit difficult, but you really prefer to do that a lot more than, like you say, just drawing He-Man versus Beastman and Triclops or something like that?
Yes, you know, it's hard to explain sometimes, but I find the two things really interesting. You know, I enjoy the same way doing a piece with the main characters and the same with the new ones or the less known characters. I don't know. It's Masters of the Universe, you know. That's why I enjoy make even a little character, you know. I don't know, characters like Cole, for instance, or even the main ones, the like the Evil Horror poster I made,
which is beautiful, by the way. God, that's a masterpiece.
Well, I love that. I'm really proud of that piece.
That's what you should be.
No, thanks. And I think that's it. You know, it's Masters of the Universe. I will always find a way to enjoy my work on it. And with any character, any version of it.
Wow. Joe, get in here, man. Question.
Yeah, that's weird. I was just going to say, hey, a quick couple questions. And Tyler beat me to it. So I think we knew what we were going to do. No, see, obviously, Masters of the Universe has always been a love and a passion for you. So how did it come about for you working for Mattel to, you know, start doing the art and mini comics? Did you contact them? Did they see your work and contact you? How did that come to be?
No, at that moment I was working to DC Comics on one of their series. I don't remember. I think it was some kind of Superman.
Was it Smallville?
I was just going to say, I was going to bring that up. I was going to say, was it Smallville? Because remember you drew a nice Skeletor been there, which, by the way, thank you for putting my name on that.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, it was a small bit. And okay. Then they started to publish Masters of the Universe comic book. And I think Mattel contacted them to start to make the new mini comics. It was from the 5th issue, I think. And they contacted me. They already knew that I was the Masters of the Universe fan. And when the chance came, they contacted me to start to draw that was my first mini comic, yeah. The 5. I think it was issue 5.
How did that feel? You must have just been overjoyed and flipped out when, hey, I'm finally going to work on something I love so much. I mean, what was going through your head at that time?
Well, you know, I think I made a few pages early to that mini comic, to the regular comic book they were publishing those years. And I remember I thought at that moment, I always told that to my friends, that I just want to make even a little official drawing to Masters of the Universe. That was all my goal at that moment. you know?
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. I could never imagine at that moment all that came later, you know? I as Tyler told, I think I made every version of Masters of the Universe and She-Ra at this point. And, you know, it was a magic moment to me.
It's great. I mean, I think what's amazing is, you know, just seeing that, you know, you grew up loving it, loving the art that probably really inspired you to, you know, obviously where you're at right now. And who would have thought that you now would be an artist for a property that you love so much, and that now you, is it continued now and years to come, will be celebrated with all the iconic artists that have always existed. I mean, that just must be one hell of an honor to feel that.
Well, you know, yeah, thank you. But I think all these years have been past like the time, you know, and I didn't realize, you know, sometimes I have to stop for a moment and try to think and all the things I made and wow, you know,
right.
Yeah, you know, I made at this point posters, mini comics, box art, car back art, more posters, prints, designs, you know, design for new characters, new figures. I couldn't ask for more, you know. Everything.
And how much? I mean, I didn't mean to cut
at this point.
Okay, because I know I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was curious of how much artistic freedom they were giving you, like, you know, especially when you're working with the mini comics. Now, having Astro Lion, because as you know, my love for Meteorbs, when you put him in there, of course, I lost my mind seeing, you know, finally a Meteorb represented in current media. Now, is that something that they wanted you to do, or is that something you were allowed to do? I was just curious how much of the, you know, stuff that was in there was from your head and what was from them, because I was always curious about that meteor having Astro Line.
All of that was from me, you know. They just gave me the script and some kind of notes, but that's it. All of that little Easter egg or reference to another artist or versions of Masters, all of that was from me, just for me, you know, because I already made that even in other comic book like Superman. So being working on Masters of the Universe, I had to continue doing that, you know, and I love to make that when I had the chance, and Mattel love it too at the moment, you know, when they started to receive in my pages to approval, they started to be amazed, you know, to find out, oh, you put that, you included this one. Yeah, they kind of find it strange to discover that kind of things, and they like it, and I think that was one of the reasons that they keep working with me after the mini comics.
Okay, Tyler, go ahead.
So really, because of you know, because what comes to mind is I forgot which mini comic it was, but there's a panel of outer space, and you have Shigora floating around in outer space.
Oh yeah, I think it was issue 7.
Yes, I think I was right. And you've got him. You've thrown in the hero son of He-Man characters like Forklift and Kayla, Airbag, Mandy Faces. Those characters is that your choice? You know, is that stuff characters that you decided to throw in as well, like those characters, or like throwing in the tower, or I think the cliff or tower tools in the background of that one particular mini comic as well.
Oh yeah, the characters like Kyla and Many Faces too, they were on the script.
Okay.
The tower tool or Shagora. Those were all by me, you know. I decided to throw them in the comics.
The poses too, like I believe there's a pose referencing the live action movie, the way you've got laser power He-Man holding his power sword. I think when he's going to fight Skeletor, it was very reminiscent of the showdown in the Grayskull throne room. Because I reckon, I mean, it's one of,
I love that.
Because believe me, when I see your work, I mean, that's something too about what I loved your work so much is that I felt like you were such a student of Master of the Universe. Like you were just constantly, you must have spent a lot of time researching these characters because there's a lot of episodes of the cartoons of both He-Man and She-Ra, a lot of obscure characters, a lot of characters in the mini comics and the 87 movie. So you've really done a lot of homework, and it just clearly just couldn't get enough of this property. Cause I mean, I feel like there's a lot of characters thrown in that your casual He-Man fan probably wouldn't know who it was, but you're throwing in these constant references and nods all the time to a wide variety of the media. And it just felt like you must have really just spent a lot of time revisiting the Filmation show, reading the mini comics an awful lot. A lot of great references, which makes your art stand out so much.
You know, I don't need a lot of time of research to make that kind of stuff. You know, those kind of things just came to my mind. You know, I'm working with a script or another material, and those kind of things just come to my mind, and I just throw it in the project every time I have the chance, of course. That was one of the things that Mattel recognized me to have so much knowledge. I think it's knowledge about the whole Masters of the Universe world, you know, the different versions, because when you work those kind of projects, you don't have a lot of time to make research or take a look of the cartoon. You have to have the things in your head, you know.
That's what I was pretty much getting at, is that prior to working on this, as a fan, you must have really spent a lot of time reading the books, like I have done. I spent so much of my young adult life revisiting all this stuff to where, yeah, I talk to Joe about this. I don't think about it or research. It just comes right off the top of my head. And that's why I feel like prior to working professionally on He-Man, you clearly have spent a lot of time revisiting the mini comics and the cartoons.
Yeah, but you know, even as a fan, I didn't spend a lot of time to check every book or every comic, you know. I just made one read of a mini comic, for example, and things stuck in my mind, you know. I can have it all in my mind with just a look. I think it's Masters of the Universe, you know. I love it. Everybody knows that. And I just need to take a look, and everything enters in my mind and remains there. Even as a fan, you know.
That's great knowing just we have a fan that has so much knowledge of Masters of the Universe, Princess of Power, New Adventures, the movie, that's working on this line. Because, you know, you, like you said, you retain all the information in these details or characters or locations or items that you could pop in. And they're really fun Easter eggs to see when you're reading something or you're looking at the whatever box art or anything you might work on. That's what we love to see. And one quick thing, it was nice having Zeus have his little interview on here, too. We got to hear Zeus, in case you guys were wondering whose dog was barking. That was Axel's dog, Zeus. So tell Zeus, said hi. But he's not like, what? But now, okay, now to your to the current thing, the Masters of the Origins line that we're going to be getting soon, and hopefully more things to come. And I won't try to divulge any information of things that you can't speak of, but knowing obviously that Alcala is one of your, you know, most inspirational artists on Masters of the Universe, when you were told that you're going to be given this chance to kind of draw in that style, I mean, how did that feel? And I love what you did, by the way. I love that homage and that look to the. It's just beautiful. It's breathtaking, and all the new stuff that you're doing. But drawing in his style, how does that feel? And just when you were presented that, what was again going through your head, and how did that come to be?
Well, you know, they opened the gates of the heaven for me once.
That's
fine, you know. Yes. You know, I love it. I love Alfredo Alcala style, and when they came to me and asked me that, you know, I love to have the chance to make that, because not only for the artwork style, because for its meaning, you know, Mattel is doing again. A line with the figures 5.5, and that's already have a great meaning. And doing a new line in the vintage figure style with the art based on Alfredo Alcala, and even the line based on the early version of Masters of the Universe, you know. To have that version of Prince Adam, He-Man with the dad on his boot, you know, all of the project was magic.
And there's some cool details I wanted to, I'm curious about, because I love how you recreated the cover of He-Man and the Power Sword, but was it at the request of Mattel or you to not have those two mysterious people on top of Castle Grayskull's shooting that man at arms? Because I noticed that's not on the version you did. Was that something they told you they didn't want to see, or something you recommended, or how did that come to be?
Oh, no. You know, for the cover, I made just the characters, and the background art was made by Nate, you know. But
okay.
Mattel gave us a precise note about the cover. They wanted to be some kind of recreation of the first cover by Alfredo Alcala, you know, the He-Man and the Power.
Okay.
Then they decided to change the focus on the castle, but the cover had to be straight on homage to that cover.
And it was a great homage. I love what you did, and I was curious. Now, I know you didn't do the coloring. Was it Val Staples who did the coloring on that by chance?
Yes, it was.
Okay, because I noticed some details. Again, I didn't know if you would have known like how that came to be, but on Skeletor's chest, now on the original, you know, mini comic, the bat symbol is not colored yellow on the cover or on the boots, but I know in the story we see it being yellow. But now for this recreation, the homage, I see that was colored yellow. So I didn't know, again, if that was something Mattel said to do, if it was something out of Val's head, or if that's something that possibly you might not even know how that came to be. But I liked all the combinations of details that all of you artists did to create that piece again.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I think I decided to threw the bat on the armor or skeletal armor, and the same with the boots. And I think it was Val deciding to color that in yellow, like the early version of Skeletor. Even in the mini comic, they showed yellow.
Yes.
And it was yellow even in the Mark Taylor concert.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad you drew that, because on the cover of the original one, I don't believe the bat is shown on the cover. I mean, you could see maybe little things on the boots, but I like that you drew that bat, and I like that it was then colored in. And just try to find a way. See if they're going to do a poster of this, Axel. We need a poster of this life-size. That's what we got to get, is a big 24x16 or something. Put the word out. We'll purchase it. We'll definitely buy that. Everybody in this chat room will buy it, too. Any chances we can get posters? You think that could happen?
I don't know. At this point, I can tell you that. I don't know.
Spread the word. Get it to Mattel. Spread the word. Say Joe Mano said we need posters of these things. They'll sell like hotcakes. Have them at a good price. $24.
That would be great, but I don't know.
All right, I'll pass it back to Tyler.
Now, with this new line coming, like they obviously, like your relationship with Mattel has obviously been quite fruitful. Like, what has it been like for you in working with them and establishing this? I mean, since, you know, you were working with Scott Knight, like on classics, on the mini comics, and, you know, obviously Mattel continues to, you know, love your work more and more, which I could not be more happier about. What's the relationship been from, you know, from the beginning to now? And does it look like, you know, your talents will continue to be used further and further, whether it's on something that's coming down the pipeline, or is it something like, you know, they just like what you do and they just want to keep you around as their kind of go-to He-Man artist?
Well, you know, that depends. You know, I think it was a relation more close to when I worked with Scott, you know, and the classic line. Now they usually contact me through Val, you know.
Okay.
And we work on the project. I think Val is some kind of you know, manager or editor.
Gotcha.
For the project.
So you pretty much work with Val for the most part on this. You're not really working directly with the Mattel representative. It's just pretty much Val talks to them and he passes it on to you about what they want. And so you just kind of work with him for the most part in a lot of these projects.
Yes. Yes. That's the way we work it lately.
Wow. That's got to make it pretty good, because you've been working with Val for quite some time now. And I was glad on what point I realized that, Val obviously liked your work, because I feel like you've been doing stuff for PowerCon and doing prints and things like that for so long. And I mean, obviously he's, you know, he's been carrying a flag for your work for quite a while too. So I'm sure that makes working with Mattel a lot easier when you're just working with a friend, essentially. So that's got to be great for you.
Yes, yes, you know, yes. Val is a good man. He's a good friend at this point for me, and my late works have been made in that way with him, you know, even the work obviously for PowerCon, but the same about the works for Super 7 or the works now for Mattel.
Now, do you see, as of right now, like, I know you probably can't say too much, but does it look like you'll, with this Origins line that's coming, we don't know what else is being released, but will you continue to be working on it? Like, will you be doing more references to Alcala's work, or will you be doing references to stuff Larry Houston did, or Bruce Timm, or just being used on this line, you know, as it's coming? Or is it pretty much just to kind of get it launched?
You know, at this point, I don't know too much about it, you know. Even I don't know if they will keep working with me on the art.
Gotcha.
It's not clear for me at this point. I just know there are, I think, 8 or 9 figures.
Okay, wow.
Yes, as prototype. And that's it. That's all I know by now.
I would assume that they would, you know, keep you on. You've been going this long with it and kind of jump starting it with this 2-pack that's coming out. So I would find it hard to believe that, you know, they wouldn't be going to you to do package art or card art or any kind of publicity for this next lineup of characters that are coming out. So it seems logical, and I'd be quite upset if they didn't.
I really hope to work on the next one. Because, you know, it's all about Alfredo Alcala, the yellow version. Well, we all know that. But, you know, if that not happen, the same is great for me, you know. Being an artist of that 2-pack, it was such an honor for me. I think even with that, it's okay for me.
Now, this is something that this will go back a few years, but as we all know, there's been talks of a new He-Man movie for years. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, you were tapped to do some concept drawings for the current director at that time. And could you elaborate on your experience and how you got contacted and what it was like to work on pre-production on a possible He-Man movie?
You know, at the time, I don't remember the name of that director. At some point, Scott Neilig made the contact for me. And I came to draw, at that moment, some storyboard of some scene of the movie, or at least of what was planned at that point for the movie. And that's it. That's all I made for the movie projects at this point. But I don't know anything about the new movie or the style of the designs. But I'd love to work on stuff like that. But I don't know much about it.
Now, what was it you were asked to establish in your storyboard? Like, were you just kind of drawing from your perspective what you feel it should be interpreted, like the characters in the scene? Or was it, were you given like a list of characters, a list of, you know, like what the scene that one needed to be drawn? Like, what was it that you were given to kind of work on, like specifically? Like, just He-Man Skeletor fighting? Was it a specific moment in the script at the time, or was it just kind of just concepts of a story?
No. It was a scene with the masters, you know, I think Man at Arms and other good warriors, some kind of pursuit of some characters, and that's it. But I think it was to be part of the movie at that moment, you know. I think there were five characters. Mantam, Stila, and I don't remember. I think it was Raman too.
Now, were you instructed to redesign them to fit the cinematic look, or were you pretty much drawing them in the traditional?
Oh, you know, they sent me at that moment some kind of concepts. I think they were early concepts of T. Lamanatams and the other characters. But that was very early stage at that moment of that project. And they didn't have too much material to share or to show. So it was a very, very poor material, you know, to work
on. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I guess nothing drastic, though, right? Was it like, you know, were you giving a bit of a redesign to Tila based on the concepts they sent you? Or was it like if they were to pop up, you know, in some sort of art book, would people recognize, okay, that's clearly Tila, or like, who is that? Like, are the books pretty?
At that moment, you know, those concepts, I think they tried to respect the basic concept that we all know. You know, you have
Mantam
with the same colors, obviously a lot of details, but Tila was like the Tila we know. I think Prince Adam was some kind of purple boy with dress, you know. And I think it was Triclops too. You know, Triclops appeared on the script, but they didn't have any design for him. So I had to try to figure out some kind of movie Triclops for that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for that part.
That's awesome.
Yes. Yes.
So, like, that had been quite challenging for you in a fun way, I'd assume, trying to, you know, like, can you give us, like, an idea of what you tweaked or changed to a traditional Triclops look? Did you add your own touch? Since there was no look, like, what did you get to add to that version of Triclops?
You know, I remember I tried to, obviously, respect the concept, we all know, and add all those little details we always get in the movie version. But I think it was some kind of Mike Young Triclops, you know?
Okay.
The version of the action figure with all these details and some kind of new armor. But it was basically the Triclops we all know.
God, I remember you told me about that. I was so curious as like, what could Axel possibly draw on that? Like, it really it's one of those things, like, because Axel teases me a lot with some of the stuff he works on. I'm like, oh my God, like, I don't know what that could be. And that was something that always stuck with me, wondering what you could have designed or what you could have been working on. So I, you know, I probably will never get to see that stuff, but I was always curious as to what, because I thought that was amazing for you. Like, I was so thrilled to know that you were tapped to do some concept pre-production drawings for it. And I thought, oh my God, like, this is amazing. Like, I just thought this was big time for you. I just thought that was probably next to working on the toy line, you doing concept drawings for a live action film. Like, it couldn't have gotten any better, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'd love to, you know, I love, as I told you, early, I love to work on everything related to Masters of the Universe and work on art for a new movie could be awesome, you know? I would love to respect the basic concepts we all know, but yeah, I'd love to do some stuff like that.
Yeah, there's so many questions I know I want to ask you, but I know I can't.
Because I feel like I'm hogging the space here, dude. So I'm no. Shut up.
Well, that's the thing. I know you've been waiting for this for a while, so that's why I was just going to let you go and run with it, because eventually we're going to get to the chat room and they'll have questions for you as well. The questions I have, like I said, again, if you can't answer them, you know, don't answer them. You know, okay, you'll see what, you know, that's why it's just, okay. The two-pack for the Adam and He-Man, which is fantastic, what you did. Now, I don't know if, like, these figures going forward, if they'll be single-carded. I'm assuming they would be. But have there been any ideas for the possibility on the fronts of these origin figures to, okay, well, obviously, it's like you say, going back to its roots. But also, could there possibly be a chance of drawing a figure on the front, like the later waves back in the 80s, like when you had King Randor on there and you had Scareglow, Rotar, Twistoid on the fronts of the card? Is that something that could be possibly in the works? Or, and if you can't answer that, don't answer that. But I didn't know if that was something brought up.
No, that's okay because I don't have idea. I have no idea what they plan to do. I don't know if it would be some kind of box or some kind of, you know, the card with the marble, like the beanbag ones. I don't know. I don't have idea.
Okay, good. Well, that's why I knew that could have been a tricky one. I was like, well, you know, I didn't know if you would have the answer. Also, which, you know, hopefully if they would do mini comics again, if they'd ever return to that someday, I'd really hope you could work on it, because I'd love to see a whole complete mini comic drawn in Alcala style by you. That would just be one hell of a thing to see.
No, I'd love to. You know, but they kept telling, even Super 7, that make new mini comics is too expensive, you know. And I don't think they will be made in making new mini comics. But at least you know, like the cars, you know, we have with the figures, like the Ultimate Edition or the ones. I think the vintage style one from Super 7 have the card too. I think they could be That will be a nice to keep doing that, to at least to have the spirit of the mini comic with the figures.
That's okay. Something I always wish they had done. I mean, for a while, even when, you know, the classic signs were going many years ago, I'd always had wished they'd just put in like what they eventually did, which was have you do like a pack-in mock-up of a mini comic, like your own. Like I've got two of them. I got some over here framed against on my wall over here. I mean, are you kidding? I got two walls of Axel here. Did you built half of this room here? So, yeah. You know, this is just a cave of power here.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was something that should become a standard, because if that's not too expensive, what's has there been any reason why they haven't done more of those? Like with the live action figures that are coming out later this year, like is it strictly a budget reason why they haven't done like more mini comic mock ups from you and all the figures, or
sorry, the sound is some kind of having problem. I didn't get. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was just wanting to know, because you had made mention that doing those little mock-up mini comics for the Ultimate Edition.
Yes.
Is that something that they're looking to maybe try to do more often, or is there a reason why they haven't done that more often? Because that I thought that was such a wonderful idea, that if they couldn't do an actual mini comic, to at least make the card itself, when you buy it, it looks like there's a mini comic in there. And I mean, having your artwork on there was just icing on the cake. What's the reason they haven't done that more often with the classic figures?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I think that idea came with the Ultimate Edition, you know, mm-hmm. the first wave of Ultimate Edition. And it worked very well. The people loved the idea. And so they keep doing the same thing on the other line, even with the 5.5 figures. I don't know why they didn't make that in classics with Mattel, for example, because, you know, while Scott ran the line, he always tried to make mini comics, but maybe nobody thought about that, about made those cards to try to simulate at least the mini comic. I don't know why. Okay. They did it.
Gotcha. I had something. Oh, well, this was a kind of a wild one. So, Joe, do you have another question you want to ask before I jump my next one?
No, you go on yours, because I was going to say, after you do yours, I was going to have the chat see, you know, do some of their questions, and then you could, of course, you know, finish up with some others after the chat. But no, go ahead, Tyler.
Okay, because actually, we know it's a lot later where you're at, so we don't want to keep you excessively late here.
Oh,
but, listen.
In case you hear some kind of where we are cry, is my little boy. He's dreaming, you know?
So, yes.
So you can hear, you maybe can hear some kind of cry or stuff like that.
He's fine. Yeah, he's fine. Zeus is your faithful companion there, so he's earned his right to make a little noise here in his big screen debut there. What attracted me to Axel's artwork, which I don't know if people know this or not, but was how you drew the 87 movie characters, because you did a commission of Blade and Sorod for somebody. And had Skeletor in the Holosphere in the center.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and that's what introduced me to your work. And I thought, oh my God, this guy loves the 87 movie as much as I do. I can see it in his work. Have you always been a fan of that film, or has it grown over time, or is it just kind of like a lot of the visuals? Because you make references to Skeletor on social media an awful lot too, and you and I have conversed with it about, make references to it and the artwork you've done for me. Has it just been something you've loved since childhood, or is it something you kind of grew to love and really like, man, there's a lot of great things in this film?
No, you know, I love the movie. I still love that movie. You know, I always have and had some kind of trouble with the story, you know, the characters coming to the earth and stuff like that. But I understand why they did what they did. But I love the movie. I love Skeletor, obviously. I love Evelyn. I love Dolph as He-Man.
Yeah, you know that he's the amazing look. As He-Man.
Yes. Yeah. And I love to draw the characters or even some location from the movie. Even my last artwork for Super 7 was the Carbax for the movie figures, you know? And yes. We will have that same art as Power Comprints this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're really proud of the work we made. I made the line art, and the color is by Val. So we want to offer the full art each character, you know? Yes.
Man. Okay. So well, I was kicking myself for not going to PowerCon this year.
It was some kind of nightmare, you know, because you need to throw a lot of detail, you know, and you have the full character. You can hide with shadows or another kind of stuff, some of the detail. You have to show the whole figures in the Carbac art. So I have to check a lot of image and pictures from the movie to be accurate with every detail on Skeletor, the god Skeletor, you know, even He-Man with the armor and some details on the cape. But it was a really hard work, but I love what we made with that.
What was, of the four that you did, what was your favorite to draw? Like, this is the one you're like, oh, I can't wait to sit down and just draw this from top to bottom. Like, of those you did.
Well, you know, I love Skeletor. And I love how he came out with the art. But I think my favorite is He-Man, you know? Because he came out better than I expected, you know? The faction or even the details, the pose. I think my fave is He-Man.
Oh man, amazing! I was so glad to know that you're working on those too. Like, it's okay. In the bag, man. I ain't gotta worry about it. Axel's working on this. Whatever it is, it's gonna be just absolute gold. So I just,
you know, it was a hard work because I have to make fit the character in the room available,
yeah,
to make. But I wanted to make the characters in some kind of pose reminiscent from the movie, you know? So you have Skeletor pointing, like the scene where he's saying, kneel before
Neil.
Yeah, or even the god Skeletor telling farewell He-Man and shooting stuff.
See,
like that.
Just was it like Axel doing the posing, quoting the lines. This is why I'm buddies with Axel, man. That's just his passion for such details like that, man. That's
yeah, God, you know, I love that. You know, I love to make that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, we'll open up to listeners in the chat room who
yes.
are anxiously awaiting to ask you some questions there.
Yes. So right now we're going to open it up. Any questions you guys have in the chat room for Axel, put them right here. Now, I know there's usually a delay. So within this delay, I wanted to address one thing that recently happened. I just want fans, if you guys can keep an eye out, and heck, even Axel, if you can keep an eye out in groups and places. The people that were generous enough to donate the Power and the Honor catalogs for us, you know, to give away as prizes, it was taking a while to get here. And so I asked the person that sent the box, and I was like, hey, do you have tracking on that? And then he gave me the tracking, and he said, yeah, it's being held up. And for some reason, it was being held up in Detroit. So it made its way from New Jersey, was stuck in Detroit a long time, then finally came here this week to me in Ohio. Well, the box was slightly damaged in, and when I opened, took out the books, five of them were missing. So then I looked at the side of the box, and sure enough, from the post office, it said, "We are sorry, postal customer, about the damage to your box, blah, blah, blah." But five of those Power and Honor catalogs were missing from that box. So that explains why it was held up so long in Detroit, because whatever happened, somebody stole them. So I'm asking you guys to keep an eye out on eBay or any of the He-Man groups to see if you see somebody selling five books, especially on eBay where it says Power and Honor catalog, and it might say available five, because I'd like to find out who stole these books, because that's just, it's horrible for somebody to do that, you know, especially when the people donating, you know, the books to us. It's, those things ain't cheap. And that was a generous thing to do, and now five minutes stolen. So it's a horrible thing to bring up, but I'm bringing it up because I'd like people's help so we can keep an eye on the groups to see if you pop up, and, you know, if they pop up, and we can see what's going on, because I'd like to find out who stole these books. So it wasn't trying to be a downer moment, but that's a moment to where I'm hoping you guys can be extra eyes for me as well. So it sucks that some of the books that we would have gave away on Fans of Power are not going
to
be, well,
it's a shame to live some kind of situation, you know?
Yeah, it's terrible. So, and I know, actually, you're in a lot of the groups as well, and I know you'll keep your eyes peeled, as well as Tyler. I know you see the stuff
absolutely,
as well, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you hear anything, people contact me, Nathan, Joe, and just let us know, and we'll pursue the person who's trying to play them off. It's his own personal collection of books there, but... actually, you know, too, because that's a wonderful book, got a lot of great things in it, so we hope we can at least stop the person who took it upon themselves to break into that box and steal them. So, but anyway.
Yeah, so I digress, but like I said, I just want to put the word out, so thanks everybody to keep an eye out. Now, there's a question from Mike Champ. I didn't know this, but I haven't seen some of the things recently, so I wasn't sure, but he said... I didn't know if this was official, that did you draw some of the Fuerza T characters in the backgrounds for like Slammerai and the Snake Troopers? Were there silhouettes of them? There were? Okay. And how did that come about? I mean, how did you sneak those in? Because I didn't even know about that until Mike just said that.
You know, I tried to put that Fuerza T character even in early illustrations. And at some point, I think it was Mattel that didn't want to include that. Mm. And I tried to push, you know. Are you sure? Are you sure? And at the very final moment, they gave me the green light to make that. And the version I drew, you can see the character more clearly, you know, but they decide to change it to it's almost some kind of
like
silhouette.
A silhouette. Yeah, silhouette.
Yeah, but you can recognize me. It's a Fuerza T character, you know.
It's Feliner, wasn't it? I think it was Feliner. I think wasn't that the one that you picked, Axel?
Yes. Yes, Feliner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Those would be awesome characters to see in a classics line style or something else. I know it will probably never happen, but I guess you can dare to dream on some things, because we didn't get much art for them beyond what was on that little, you know, front part of their bubble on the vintage line, and then on the card back, you had a little design. So yeah, it's good. And again, that shows your love for everything, things that are even inspired by Masters of the Universe. So I love seeing a fan like you working.
Well, you know, at this moment, Top Toys, the company here, they working on trying to make a new wave for Fuerza T.
Oh, no kidding. Really? In the vintage style? Yeah. So possibly we could get Spector?
Vintage style. It's some kind of continuation of the original line.
That'd be great. Could you imagine if you were doing art? Now, see, that's it, Axel. If that does happen, now we got to get you doing card art for that, too, on the backs and in the front little inserts. Maybe it could go through the grapevine. Maybe that's a possibility.
Well, I'm talking to them and trying to organize some kind of stuff, but it's nothing sure at this moment. But maybe I'm so I I think I made a new cover, some kind of death. I will be revealing that in an event here in Buenos Aires in October.
Now that's awesome. Oh, I'm glad, Mike. Man. Mike, I want to thank you in the chat room for bringing this up, because again, I knew nothing about Feline or hiding in the background, but this has led to a whole other side story. Jesus, I love it. So, all right, well, yeah. Thanks for that, Axel. Let's see. T-Dog was asking, how long have you known about the Origins line? Is that something that you can divulge, or is that something you can't say? Or, like, I guess, how long did you know about the Origins line before, obviously, we all knew about it?
No, sorry. I didn't get the...
Oh, he was wondering to know how long did you know about the Origins line. I guess what he was asking is, you know, whether it was from when it was they first started doing the figures, or after the figures when they thought about the art, they contacted you. I mean, I didn't know if that's something.
I got it. They sent me some kind of description of the work that they needed, and some pictures of the prototypes of the He-Man figure. But that's all I had at the moment.
Okay. Well, thanks for that info. At least, like I said, we got something, but thank you. Let me see. Well, Mike Champ, he's asking a question, but I know you've already, he's drawn Astro Lion, but Mike Champ was wanting to know if we might see more artwork of the Meteorbs or from like in Mad Duck posters form. I guess, if there's enough of a request, is that something that you could possibly maybe do in the future if they wanted Meteorbs done for Mad Duck or?
Possibly, you know. At this moment, I'm working on the huge piece for Mad Duck posters, a huge battle, and I already have a list of the characters who be there. But I think I have some freedom to include some other characters. You know, the new ones, or maybe in others. Faves of mine.
Can we see possibly the return of Sky High hiding in the background, flying in the Wind Raider? Can Sky High return?
That could be, you know, that could happen.
All right. Okay.
Erica wanted to say hello to you, Axel, because she's still a big fan of your artwork, and she talks about how nice and humble you are over the Christmas card you did for us many years ago, and the She-Ra print you gave to her. So she was
that was a surprise for you.
Oh my God, like that was such a magical Christmas gift. And she still goes on. We both still talk about it to this day, just how spot on you got her in that picture. And it was just something that it's the only one highlighted in red on my wall of power here too. So it was a magical gift. And she was super excited to know you're going to be on the podcast. She's been watching the whole time, so she wanted me to tell you she said hello.
Oh, okay. Tell hello from me to her.
All right, Derek, you hear that? He's addressing you there.
All right. Next question is from Adam Gabbert. He's asks, Axel, what is your favorite Masters of the Universe classic figure for a female and a male?
Oh, that's a hard question to I don't know. Maybe Mossman?
Really? Okay, yeah. Okay. You usually don't hear many people say Mossman. I like that, though. Okay.
Yeah, you know, Mossman, I like the characters with a simple concept, you know, and I love most. And a female, maybe the goddess, you know, the Greek goddess.
Okay, yes. I like that.
Now, does that explain why you like the character I-Beam as much as you do?
Oh,
because I remember when I first saw that years ago on He-Man, I was like, that's an interesting idea. But when you drew, I'm like, oh my God, like a giant eyeball with legs and a spear, and Axel like knocked it out of the park. Like it was amazing, because it is such a simple and kind of odd design. But, you know, your passion for simplicity in these characters, I mean, it really comes through and makes these characters just like badass.
You know, I love to work on that that kind of characters. And again, that's why I like the most characters like Bossman or, I don't know, another simple characters. I don't know, I have my collection here. Even Ular, you know, is just some kind of naked human.
Yeah.
Yes, I love those characters, that kind of characters.
Now, I have a quick question here too, Joe, to ask him, because it hasn't really been discussed that much with characters like Red Shadow, the Black Wizard, and all those new characters that you created. What was the purpose of those characters that you created? Like, was it the hope that they would make it into the line, or just characters for the mini comics? Because you did some very detailed illustrations of them, and you've drawn them a few times over the years. But what was the purpose of those characters, and like Gladiator, and you know, all those other characters that you worked on?
I think the purpose always was to bring new characters, you know, to the world of Masters of the Universe, to enrich what we already have, and had the chance to tell new stories. Adding new characters. I think that was the main purpose, and obviously to have the chance to make new figures. We had the best example with Fangor, you know?
Yes.
Yes. And I, at some point, it was planned to make some other new characters, like obviously Lady Slither, you know.
That's probably one of your proudest creations, is it not? Like that's a character that you're very, very proud of, right?
Yes, you know, all of my Snake Man design, I love those design. Even the Snake Liar, you know, some kind of playset. I love that. And those plans was changed at some point, and the figures, were left out. But the main purpose of all that is had the chance to make new figures, you know, have new figures.
Wow. I'd always hoped those figures would see the light of day, and I really thought they were coming down the pipeline. But it's heartbreaking to know the plans were scrapped on this, because there's from Bandwidth, Gladiator, Red Shadow, the Great Black Wizard, Ladies. I mean, there's some amazing characters you designed.
Well, you know, I'm really proud of those early characters. Even one of my fave, beside Fangor, is Red Shadow. You know, I love. I always saw Red Shadow as some kind of companion to Mossman, you know?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's a character from Britannia, and you can see some kind of nature, character related to nature. Mossman to the plants, Red Shadow maybe to the animals or the beast. And I love the concept of that character. Even at this moment, I have a very good friend, a customizer, doing a custom for my first custom of a Red Shadow.
Oh, amazing! And then you came up. Was that your idea, like for his character, to make him a friend, a Moss Man who has affinity for animals, much like how Moss is? Like, is that your idea? Is that, you know, something that you, when you're designing the character, you're coming up with like a backstory for all these characters?
The main backstory is like, he's like some kind of man in the iron mask of Eternia, you know? Some kind of tragic story. Wow. And you can see that in the mask, you know, and I love that my custom reflect that in the mask. I think I will reveal the custom in October too, next to my works at art and other stuff.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
Yeah. But the main concept for the character is some kind of tragic character, you know? He has the mask attached to him permanently, and by magic he can't take it off. And I love that background story. You know, we work.
That's amazing. I never would have thought of any of that based on your illustrations of Red Shadow. Just seeing him with the little I can never remember their name. From Quest for He-Man on Plundor's planet.
Oh yes,
the Sminovich.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I used to wonder why is that with him, but that makes complete sense. And that makes me. So I feel like if we had more time with you, I would want to sit down and go through a Black Wizard, Gladiator, Bandwidth, latest. Like if you come up with these ideas, I want to know all about this stuff. Because I've looked at these illustrations multiple times for years and just wondered what their purpose would have been in the mythology. And you've already thought of this stuff out, man. Like, we have to have you back to discuss just these characters alone. I mean, that's fascinating to me.
You know, yeah, you know, I love to, but included those kind of little creatures. That was my idea, you know, the little bat snake with Fangor,
yeah, or
the little creature. Because I love the figures, including those kind of little companions. And at the moment, I thought that little creature was perfect as companion to Red Shadow. And, you know, kind of stuff I like to add to my designs. I think there is another designs with those little creatures, even the Snake Man, you know, the Vipor had the little manta from the Eternia playset.
The Viper Tower? Yeah.
Yes. That's another example. And I don't know, I don't remember, but I think I made that same thing with another characters.
Okay, because I feel Joe, if you keep giving me the opportunity, I'm going to keep asking more and more questions about these
no, I was going
to
say.
So give it to the fans, because I feel like they have earned their right to talk more, because I could keep bugging Axel to death on like Quick Flick, Stretch Neck, all these other characters that came up with.
Well, I was going to say, if you had any other ones you want to shoot them, because I think right now in the chat room, that might have been the end of the questions, because I think they know the limits of only certain things they can ask, because some things we know you cannot answer. But
gotcha.
I mean, but quickly, though, I mean, we know you're going to be at PowerCon, correct?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Now, any chance you're going to be at San Diego Comic-Con this coming week, or will you be at San Diego Comic-Con, or no?
Oh, no. I have no time in my schedule to attend San Diego this time.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll pass it back to Tyler so we can hit you with a couple more questions, because like we said, we know it's getting late for you. We don't want to keep you too long. And then after that, you can, of course, promote any of the pages. But I'll pass it back to Tyler. Go ahead, Tyler.
It's time to give my boy his night walk. But,
oh, yes. Yes, we don't want to lose him as night exercise. Absolutely.
Can weigh a little more.
But I mean, Axel, I hope you had a good time on the podcast with us, and I would hope that you would want to come back, because I really could pick your brain a lot more about these characters that you
worked on. Okay. I love to be with you guys.
So it wasn't as tough as you thought, or did you understand us all right?
You know, it's okay. I'm a little, you know, hesitating to take part in this kind of things, but I really enjoyed to talk with you guys.
Good.
No, it was great talking.
We just wanted to make it as comfortable as we possibly could for you, because we have to have you back. I got so much more to ask you, because you've just opened up a whole nother universe of questions I just want to ask, and just spend a lot of time devoting to those original concepts that you had done. So when we have you come back, I would love to make that. And we didn't even get to talk about the Horde. Like, we had every intention of talking about the Horde with Axel, and we don't have time to do that either. So we've got more than enough reasons to bring you back, and hopefully relatively soon, because it's just wonderful to finally sit down and talk with you, bud.
Oh, okay. It will be great for me to be with you again, guys. So anytime you want, I'll be with you.
Definitely. And we now try to schedule it. Okay. I'm sorry, Joe, damn it. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Like I said, yeah, we're definitely going to have you back again. But no, before you go, though, Axel, are there any websites, any of your personal pages, anything that you want to promote and tell people where they can go so they can check out your work and things that you've done?
Well, you know, you can find my recent work in my Facebook account and my Instagram account. I usually share all my work in those accounts.
And just as Axel Jimenez, no any kind of like, you know, extra things to it, just Axel Jimenez?
No, it's just my name.
Okay. All right. And I'll pass it back to you, Tyler, then we can get ready to wrap it up.
Axel, I want to personally thank you for all the work you've done for me over the years. So now that I'm facing you, you know, face to face here. Would be better in person, so hopefully one day I can give you a big hearty handshake and a big hug for all the wonderful things you've done for me there. So I want to thank you personally for that. And you know, for all the work you've done for the fans, and that I hope people will continue to celebrate your artwork, because I mean, damn it, man, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's been astonishing since the first time I saw it, and it continues to get better and better all the time, dude. So thank you so much for all you've done for all of us.
Oh, you're very welcome. That means a lot. You know, seeing my art, you know, in your world, really, really means a lot for me.
Good. I'm so glad, because I spend a lot of time staring at it quite often. I just come in here and just start staring at it. I'm like, I could do so much more. It gives me more and more ideas to throw at you. If you have enough time, dude, I'd be sending you more and more to accomplish there. But I'm just glad that Mattel and others have utilized your talents quite a bit there, dude. So I could be selfish about it if I really had the opportunity to. So if I could, I'd hire you personally just to draw He-Man artwork and Thundercats too.
That's
another thing.
Yes. Absolutely. You know, I love Thundercats as much as Masters of the Universe. Yes.
Gosh, that's another thing I love to talk to him about.
Yes, see that Lionel versus Two-Time.
Two-Time right there.
Yes.
I got the other one with the Hero, Monkey, and Jackalman right here.
Oh, yes. I remember that too. Yes.
Yep, and I got Dial-A-Mug, Hero, and the Fright. I mean, I could just go down the whole line of here.
Yes.
All right.
But, well, I was gonna say, Joe, we can wrap it up and let him go.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I wanted to thank everybody in the chat room for your comments and your questions, and hope you enjoyed this episode. It was great. If you're new to the channel, make sure you like, subscribe, share, ring the bell so you can always get notified when we go live. And Axel, it was an honor having you here, and we can't wait to have you on again. So let me just wrap it up by saying, until next time, have a powerful day.
See you, guys.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye, guys.